today for your open book test. I don't have pockets, so I got to stick that in my shirt. All right, so here's what we've been doing the whole time. Is the New Testament as a transition period in God's plan of redemption, okay? What are some of the things on that? Just quickly. First of all, God's plan of redemption, all right? You may understand the Bible like I understood the Bible as a Catholic, not so much. When I got saved and started trying to understand the Bible, and I was taught that the Bible goes from the very beginning of time until the very end of time. How many are like that? You did that. That's just a normal thing. It does go from the beginning, because what's the first three words? In the beginning. And it goes all the way to the end until time is no more. Okay, but is it a science book about time and space and science, or is it about a plan of redemption? Yes. What say ye? Anybody?
So even as you asked, you know, the qualifications you made around the end of what? Maybe we ought to start at the beginning, say the beginning of what?
Amen.
Not impose that time begins at this, but
absolutely. Absolutely, that's understood. I mean, that is so great. You got to point that out. Because look, it's a beginning, and what was it? And then there's an end of what? And let me tell you, those got to match up. So, okay, I was taught the beginning of time, the end of time. They matched up to me. What's the problem? Until it just doesn't. And then the Bible never uses the phrase the end of time, except in a bad translation. So what do you do with that? And now what about this little filler? When I have brackets, that's Richard, okay? You don't believe that. Well, you don't believe anything comes from me, right? You know that from the first class. How much do you believe that I'm saying? Nothing. No thing. You go check it out. But why do I say the New Testament as a covenant, as a final transition period? I'm just saying because it is the final covenant, as compared to what? Were there covenants before this one that in which we live? Yes. How many? Well, you can go through and figure them out, okay? But that's what we got. All right, now, so that we're going to come back to this. I'm going to show you only pictures today. Don't you like a class with only pictures? And let me start right here because I showed this multiple times. I did not come up with this. I stole this. I'm borrowing it. David Curtis, who put it together for him. But here's where his church is in Virginia Beach. All right, so here's what. And I'm just going to go through these. Okay, so here we go. And I want you to comment. I don't want to explain it again. You've heard me say it. So I want you, in your mind, can you have these images? That's why today, our last class is pictures. Pictures. That's why I love those Bible Project guys. They give me a video. They show a picture in one of their videos of Isaiah 6. And Isaiah is right there in the temple. And they put Isaiah sitting there, he's just a man, you know. And then they put something over his eyes. And he sees Yahweh and the seraphim and all that. And then they take the picture away and it's just a building. Isn't that good? Is that the way we should see? Faith eyes, eyeballs. I listened to an atheist debate, Don Preston, last week, and that atheist guy who used to be Church of Nazarene, then he was Church of Christ, and now he's nothing. But, you know, he's got his faith eyes. It's gone. He said, I'm an atheist now. But to see in the... Now look, he either was a Christian or not a Christian, or he never was, and he's still not. I don't know. But when you put your faith eyes on, that's what is so good, and that's what Isaiah saw. Okay, so here's the setup. This age to come. You recognize that language in the New Testament? Okay. When did the age change, or has it changed yet? I was taught from 1982 when I was saved, the age ain't changed yet because we're in the Christian age. It's a parenthesis. Anybody been taught that? And one of these days, that parenthesis is going to stop, and then we're going back to, or something to the age to come. We're going to go to that. You heard that? Okay, that's dispensational teaching. That's all I knew. Okay, so, but that's not what the Bible uses. The Bible uses this age and age to come. You can't see it as far as when the change came, but it says cross or Pentecost. All right, so there you go. This age, the age to come. What about the 40 years? What's going on in the middle? What would you use as a word?
Transition.
There's Pentecost, there's 70 AD, okay? How long in between? 40 years. Is there any other 40-year period that might jump out in your mind in the Bible? Well, I hope so. Exodus. How long did the Israelites talk about the Exodus from when it happened? How long was it a paradigm, a main event, a deliverance. How long did they talk about it, Brad?
Forever.
That's right. Yes. How long do we as Christians going to talk about the cross? Can't we just get over the cross and the resurrection? Why do we talk about the cross and the resurrection? Because it was the same event as the Exodus. And that is where we got free, or our forebears got free, and we share in that. There you go. So there you go. So this age was leading into the age to come. There's your transition period. Those have got, mark your A, you got an A so far. What about this? Is this a true statement? The New Testament writers wrote all their material in this period, and I would say all the New Testament writers wrote all their material in this period before 70 AD. What have you ever heard about that? True, false? People have different opinions on that, maybe? What? Why are you shaking your head? What opinions are out there?
You know, the big things read up, right? I mean, they would have been in at 95 or whatnot.
Yep. So you can argue about that, you know, and argue about that, and when it was written and all that. But there's reasons. Go ahead, comment.
But you have it between the two red lines. So are you saying that they were all also written after Pentecost, or might the Gospels have been penned before?
Yes, I think so. They were not written before Pentecost. They were written about before Pentecost. Four Gospels were, but they were not written before.
Oh, because they didn't have the Holy Spirit, so they wouldn't have been able to write them.
Yeah, well, and listen, what did they know when they knew? They didn't know a lot of things, and, you know, Jesus is going to come back. Well, did they even understand he was going to go away? See, we think certain things, and then what we do, Jerry, is we put that back on the Old Testament. We put it back on the Gospel. We put it back in their minds. Well, what do you mean you're going to come back? Where are you going? The Jews said, well, where is he going? Is he going to the diaspora? Is he going to the nations? Is he going to kill himself? I don't know. So there you go. So I think, but there are opinions other than that about when stuff is written. Revelation had to be written, they say, whenever the church was under persecution by Domitian. Okay? Domitian. Vespasian, Titus, Domitian. Were they persecuted under Domitian? Maybe. Some historians say yes. But where were they first persecuted under and by? Hello, who?
Nero.
Nero. Why was the church not persecuted before Nero by Rome? Why was it not? Anybody? Because Rome saw them as part of who? The Jewish religion. And the Romans didn't mess with the Jewish religion. Okay? Caligula did. He's the Bill Clinton of the first century. He was going to bring a statue and so put it in the temple, and they stopped that. But look, the Romans were not mad at the Jews. Christians were tucked under the Jews by God's providence. And it wasn't until Nero, when the Jews who were helping Nero as his council of advisors, because he was married to a Jewess, and so they said, these are a bunch of people, we need to get rid of them, and he blamed the fires of Rome on them, and they started killing them. That's the first persecution. That's the one that it talks about in the Bible. Not Domitian.
Well, do we know specifically when John was sent to the island of Patmos, or whatever that word is, or do we just have church tradition?
Yeah, he didn't date it. He did date it. He did date it. Okay, so he didn't date it, like put a time stamp on it. He said, I, John, was on the Isle of Patmos, which, by the way, what does that translation mean? My killing. You ever heard that? That's interesting to think about. He said, I was on the Isle of Patmos for the Word of God, or because of the Word of God. And people say, oh, he was being tortured. Oh, maybe so, because he said, I, John, comma, your fellow brother in the what? Tribulation. Which one? Well, the great one, of course, the one Jesus was talking about. And that was under Nero. So yes, we have a time stamp there. And it was written to the seven churches. And he said, Jesus told the angel that it was going to be soon and quickly and at hand.
Well,
five times at the beginning, five times at the end, and stuff in the middle. And people say, well, I don't think God really meant soon like that. Look, it makes Jesus look weird. Okay, so yes, the timing is it. But I'm just saying, hey, you got scholars out there, seminary people, like have attended seminary in our class, and they used to believe certain things, and they write down and they say, nope, Domitian. Domitian. They assume what they have to prove. They assume what they have to prove. They assume what they have to prove. Okay, so there we go. Now, all right, what about that? So that period is what the Bible refers to as the last days, the end. Last days. What should you ask about the last days? Of what? Well, the last days of human existence, the last days before the sun hits the earth, and the last, or something else. Maybe you should start with the Old Testament and the Tanakh, and you say, does it talk about the last days? Yeah, it does, okay? Starts in Genesis and goes all the way through. Okay, so this is where you'll get kicked out of churches. You are here in the age to come. Okay? And how, and in the middle, what does this mean? I'm not going to say. You tell me. What does that mean? What does that mean? Already, but not yet. What's the already in this theory? What had already started?
The new covenant had already begun, but the old one had not completely gone away or been.
Yes. Yes, that's one. That's the half of way to look at it. Great. New covenant has started, inaugurated, but the not yet consummated. So there's you both things for the new. And the old covenant had already started. I know it goes up. It's got to do it. But it's really going down. But not yet fully gone away. You see? Already but not yet for the new. Already but not yet for the old. Can you see that? So that's right. That's the right understanding. And scholars today, if you read any kind of literature from these guys in the ivory towers or preachers or whatever, they say, today we're still in the period of the already but not yet. So for 2,000 years, you've been already but not yetting.
Okay. So I hadn't thought of it that way. The 8070 is the consummation of both, because it's the end of the old, but it's when the new is fully in place, become.
Okay. Become, consummated, okay. has, yes, do y'all get that? Do you get that? You got to see them both. They both were already, but not yet. Did you hear it? That's right. Both, okay? I think. What do I know? Okay, so you are here, right there, you're in the age to come. What's another word for the age to come? The New Jerusalem. Can you buy that? I do, properly understood. But it's not like the New Jerusalem that started in 1948, May the 15th, with a terrorist attack in Jerusalem. Okay? That's not it. It's not the Jerusalem over there that is now. When Paul talked about the Jerusalem that is now, it was the Jerusalem in Galatians 4 that was is now 2,000 years ago. And the Jerusalem above that was free was the new one. From where, in Revelation 21, from where did the New Jerusalem come? From where? From heaven. Came down. Okay? You're in it. Well, I can't see it. I can't see it, the guy said the other day, atheist with his eyeballs. You got to see it with your eyeballs. Don't you understand? And you put your eyes of faith on. Can you see the New Jerusalem as your home? Hope you can. So, that's what's going on. Reaching, like Teresa already said, very good. Okay? You're here. And then the old. So already but not yet on the old, already but not yet on the new. So here's a summary. AD 70. There's AD 70. Old covenant, the green, it's gone as of AD 70. Got it? And there's the new covenant. What happens to the new covenant? Old covenant terminates. Second coming. Uh-oh. Don't say that very loud. But there's only one second coming in the Bible. Only one. Only one. How many? One. And people that are partial preterists and say, that was a coming of the Lord in AD 70. But there's another one. Well, where does that live in the Bible? Give me an address for that. Okay? Got it? So here you go. What happens with a new covenant? Can you see these two eras, arrows? They never stop. And the Bible has verses. I should give you the address for it. Second coming, new covenant goes on. Transition period ends. You got a problem? What? I think that's all. Nope. New heaven and new earth, that's the same as the New Jerusalem. That's the same as Zion. There it is. Okay, I think that's the last one. Let me do it. Nope, it was. Sorry. Okay, so what do you say to that? Comments before we go to more pictures, but this is the main thing.
I like that you have it.
I don't have it. He has it.
He has it. the increase of his kingdom is without end. So at first I thought that was wrong, but then I remembered that verse.
Well, we were taught, I was taught that look, when Rev 20 happens, okay, there's a book. And the book has all the names in it, Mr. Reformed, okay? And whenever God just checks off all the names, and when you get to the end and all the names are checked, we're done. That's the end. But what's wrong with God? And this is a big debate. I got a book about the infinity of God, and you got these scholars out of seven different seminaries who wrote seven people writing one book, and they said, that's true. When the last one gets noted, we're done. That's the end. And my friend Michael Sullivan answered the book and he said, what's wrong with an infinite God adding one more? Well, answer that.
And where does it say that?
It says it in Rev 20.
Well, but it doesn't say when the last name is checked. What are they getting there?
Well, there's words there. We'd have to go read it. I can't quote it. But hey, there's a book and the books, right? The book and the books. And if the names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, okay? But they don't even ask, who might be the names in there? Was there a certain age that ended that might have had all the names in it and it was okay to end? Huh? Which one? Ding, 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 ding. Beautiful. Right. Yes, Keith. That fits. That fits. That ain't us. So you tell me what's wrong with God adding one more. Never mind, I can't go there. Okay, it's too... All right, so what? I don't want to get bogged down and you could talk forever. I want y'all to talk. So you see, what do you think about those pictures? I hope they put a mental thing in your mind that helps you not believe it. Don't agree, don't disagree. Go check it out. But at least have it in your mind when you're listening to somebody and they say something, you can be using a picture in your mind to say, okay, got it?
Garrett,
comment.
Yeah. Isaiah 9:7.
Read it. Oh, yes. There you go. Another one. Go ahead.
I mean, it's what she's quoting, but it's going to come right after. Right unto us, child is born, so it's given. The government will be on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end.
Is that not good? That's Christmas stuff. No, it's just life stuff. That's great. Okay. So that's what we ought to be thinking. All right. So let me go down here to the first picture. We went through a lot of stuff, but all right, won't stay long here, but there's your transition period, okay, wherever I got this from. This age, which is Moses, the age coming, and on one of my chain, the age mellow. You ever heard the Greek word mellow? A lot of you have. What does it mean? It's a scholar in my house. The age about to be. Like, are we ready for the age? We listened this morning. We were listening to David and Saul's about to die. And David was taking spoils. And David was giving those spoils to his men, even though they just guarded the stuff. And you know what it says? Listen, it says that principle is still the law in Israel today. Did you see it when you was over there? Today, they still do that. Not. Come on. Okay. There we are. But there you go. There's a transition period between 30 AD, the cross. I know I said Pentecost a while ago. I just copied this from somewhere. But, you know, the cross to 70 AD, destruction, there's your 40 years. And people work on the time. It's great to work on the time. When you get to heaven, I think you're going to see the time was just right.
So, you know, just having mentioned David, the other image that helps make, you know, if we see anything valuable, Samuel says to Saul, I mean, Saul's just gotten started, and he says, you've done screwed up, the Lord has taken it from you, and he has appointed another, he's given it to another to rule of one after another, and 40 years. And then, of course, Matthew 21 or 23, he says the same to, you know, to Israel. And here comes 40 years in which he's already king, and yet he's going to be inaugurated, and that'll be consummated.
You hear that? You hear that? You hear that? Look at that. Did you hear what he said? We had people that have objected before saying, you can't have one thing in place while another thing is still in place. Okay, well, that's just wrong. That's just wrong. And Garrett just showed you a great example of it. Look at how I bolded Israel king transition time. Who is the king in 1 Samuel 15? It's a Saul. Who is the king? Saul. Oh, well, in 1 Samuel 16, who's the king? Who got anointed? David. How long did Saul reign, please? 40 years until I told you in Mount Gilboa, into 1 Samuel, he's gone. And what happens during this transition period, and then in 2 Samuel 7 is where you get the covenant God makes with David and said, how long is he going to be king? Forever. Is he still king? Yes, you better say, and then you figure out what does that mean. Go ahead.
Well, see, I've read the fulfillment verse in Colossians. And in Colossians 1, it says, having been delivered out of the reign of darkness or dominion of darkness into the reign of his son. That's the king.
Yes. Look, if you can remember that Paul, when he's writing, the kingdom of darkness, the world of darkness, the cosmos of darkness, that's the Moses one. It's a mode of existence. You don't live in that anymore. I know in my personal life, I can look like I'm in darkness, okay? But in positionally, my imagery, all of that, I live in the light. So quit turning them lights down in there when I'm trying to follow the Bible. Why are we darkening the place? But we do. So there you go. Now, while Garrett brought that up, let me show you another one. How about this one? How about Israel as a nation? Somebody explain that to the class. Israel as a nation, transition time. Exodus 14 until Joshua 5 at Gilgal. Somebody, what do you see there? What's going on? Just briefly, huh? Eric, help the class. I got to call on somebody, you know.
What's the question?
Explain that slide. Just briefly. I mean, what does that mean, Israel as a nation in a transition time? You like that? Yes? Yes?
They're also being purified, refined, made white, ready for entry into it.
He's quoting New Testament, but it applies.
Regenerated.
Being regenerated as a body.
New generation.
New generation, regeneration. Okay, they started in Exodus 4. They're taking your thunder. You got something else you want to throw in there? Go ahead.
I like the thunder.
How long were they going to live in the land? Let me give you a Hebrew word. Olam. What does it mean? Well, did they?
No.
Well, then the Bible lies and you ought to quit following Jesus.
Well, this is a physical transition when they all die physically, but it's symbolic of...
It is a type. Okay, but the question is, without avoiding the question, did they stay in the land forever?
No.
Yes. 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 Olam means until they don't, until it reaches its goal, until it reaches the telos, to use a Greek word on that Hebrew word. You got me? That's what I'm saying. So, what did the priesthood last forever? Yes. The temple? Yes. Circumcision? Forever? Yes. Because the Bible said it's going to last forever. You better just understand what Olam, same word, Olam means. And it means until it reaches its goal. Did the circumcision and the temple and the priesthood and the living in the land, did that get replaced, since it was all types? Did it get replaced by something better? What? What did circumcision get replaced by?
Circumcision of your heart.
Yes, yes, heart circumcision. Did the priesthood of Aaronic and Levitical, did it get replaced by something better?
Jesus high priest.
Jesus high priest, but all of them in him would be of a different nature and order. So it's a kingdom of priests and their royal priesthood. Royal, yes. That's Melchizedek. Sacrifices, they get replaced by a better deal? Yes. Temple by a better deal? Yes. Look in there. Yourself, look in there. So, yes, you gotta say, the Bible said it, they're going to be in the land forever, have priesthood forever, temple forever, and now how did they do it and understand the word? Good enough? Yes?
What?
That's it. When the forever reached its time,
70 AD,
they're done. And they had parts of that where some of them were dead before that. 10 tribes got deaded before them.
Yeah, those 10 never came back.
Yeah, they did.
But Judah came back. But the
They did. Look, Revelation 7 and 14 said they all came back. 144,000, 12 tribes. Spiritual number. Okay, what happened at Gilgal? You talk about it. You said they were about to go in the land. What happens in Gilgal? Gilgal means roll away reproach. They circumcised everybody who for 40 years, the men, had they been being circumcised? What's up with that? I mean, everybody. Disobedience, thank you. So what does it mean? Give us a little deal on Gilgal. What was going on there as they just came into the land? Remember, they got engaged 40 years ago. Now what? That's a commentary, not in scripture.
No, they're being purified. They're being made ready for marriage, for walking into the land.
Yes. They're about to get married in the land for the place God had prepared for them. Sound like Jesus? I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come, and I'm going to receive you to where I am, you can be. And also the Father's coming with me. Did he do that? Not if you go to funerals today. But if you come to this class, you know that's wedding language, and he done it. We ain't waiting on him to come back and take you to heaven. Okay, so let me see what else I got on that, but I hope that's helping you. King, we did king. No, okay, here we go. A few more. Right here. In the Hebrew mind, look at the top. Hebrew mind, whenever it's going to be redemption time, we've been over this, so what time is it? It's either this age, which is Moses, or the coming age, Melo, about to be age. Okay? Got it? That's the same thing. But look, what about this in the middle? Oh, and reaching the forever, telos, okay? Telos is a Greek word. What are some English synonyms? If you could read past me. Telos. Is end one of them? Yes. What else?
Purpose.
Well, just read them. Goal, the aim, the plan, the consummation. You mean when God started revealing this whole Bible thing, you think he already had the plan in mind? The goal, the fulfillment, the purpose. Those are all synonyms for telos. Do you think that? I do. Okay, now, somebody talk about this. Jesus reigning over Israel for 40 years. Come on.
There is a throne that had to be made. It's over Israel first, but I mean, that's prophesied. It's just going to sit the Davidic throne, which I think is where we get to look in this transition period after ascension and say, what's going on in this period? Before the 1 Corinthians 15 become, you know, before he hands it over and says, now he's all in all, he reigns over that people. That was
There you go. That's it. So if you understand that Jesus had to fulfill the Davidic kingship. David reigned for 40 years. Jesus reigned for 40 years over Israel. Did all Israel submit to Jesus? Yes. No. Okay. Who's Israel? Okay. All that is, but let me tell you, it should be okay with you that Jesus might have started just with the regeneration of himself. The resurrection of himself. And then Jesus had told in John that the salvation is of the blank. Who? Not Israel yet. The Jews. And then Jesus also knew that he had sheep of another fold. This could be the Gentiles, but I think it's Israel first who have been deaded. The 10 tribes are gone. He brings them in, and then, I got a slide in a minute, shows all tongues and nations and peoples and tribes. Okay? So that's what's going on. But can you accept that Jesus might have been the ruler, the Davidic ruler over Israel, because it was promised and they get it first? He wasn't your king first, you Gentiles. Is that okay?
Yes.
Yes. And then, he already quoted 1 Corinthians 15:28, after Jesus had destroyed all of his enemies, the final one of which was the big D word, what? The death. Then it says he turns over a completed kingdom to the Father so that God could be all in all. 1 Corinthians 15:28. Huh? So what's wrong with Jesus reigning over Israel to fulfill that type? to become the reality when he sits on the throne. Some people say, well, if you got Jesus reigning over Israel, then you got him quitting the throne when he turns over the kingdom. No, he don't quit it. That's when he consummatively sits on it. William Bell, thank you very much. He don't quit the throne. He sits on the throne fully. That's why we shouldn't be singing any song. One day we're going to sing today. Has been 2,000 years. Okay, comments on that slide. I know these probably run together. They do to me too. Here it is. Here it is. The beginning and the end, or the telos, beginning and end. There it goes. This is Adam to eschaton Adam, to quote John Rosenberger. Thank you, Dr. Rosenberger there. Adam in Eden, Babel with the nations, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob equals Israel. Then Moses, then Judah. What's missing there, those 10 tribes? Where did they go under Hosea? They're dead. God killed them. Does God kill people in the Bible? Removed them from the land. That's dead to him. Then you come to Jesus, Yeshua Jesus, and here's what I'm saying. Jews, then Israel. How many, Patty, would be spiritually redeemed in Israel? To take a wild guess in the Bible. How many is a perfect spiritual number of spiritual Israel? I'll wait.
12?
12 times... Who said it? 144,000. Okay, whoever helped you. Ding, 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 ding. You get a B though, sorry.
Okay. It's okay, thanks, Richard.
144,000, can you accept that that's the number? That's the book of life. It's not forever and ever. That might be. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying it's not out of the ordinary that they're writing that book to them. Go ahead.
But even that is not a number. Isn't it a symbolic number of completeness?
I think so. Absolutely. Absolutely. What better than that? Old Testament, New Testament, multiply them together. What's this 24 thrones deal we get in Revelation with those creatures around them? Those same creatures in Isaiah 6, the seraphim, we get them again in Revelation chapter 4, these seraphim, they're saying, oh, you know what they're saying? Holy, holy, holy. Are you kidding me? For 800 years, that's what they've been saying? From Isaiah to John, 800 years, that's all they're doing? There you go. And what else they have is 24 thrones of elders. Could that be Old Testament tribes, New Testament apostles? Could that be? Could it be? Maybe. And then here's where it goes from Israel to nations, tribes, tongues, and people. A number so vast, it was multitudes. But, you know, myriads of myriads and thousands of myriads. And if you do that literally, you come up with some real number. The mathematician can do it. All right? Okay. What about this one? I like this one, but it's a busy slide. Transition of the old man to the new man. Who's the old man? It's not an individual man. It's the man of God, the Moses man, the second Moses man, the Moses man, the Messiah man. I would say Adam to second Adam, but that's outside of this, okay? You got it? These are men. These are men that are... I like the word mode of existence. You either lived in the old man, that was your mode of existence, or you live in the new man, Messiah, that's your mode of existence. That's where you live and breathe and all that. That's what you do. But the old man, Moses, Paul said some bad things about it. He said it was a ministry of death, darkness. Well, what was good about it? He said some other things. What do you remember that Paul said about, was there any benefit of being a Jew of Israel? What? What can you think of that he said? What? He said it was glorious. They had the oracles of God. They had the Word of God. Who else in the known world at that time had Yahweh speaking to them, interacting with them? Nobody, thank you. It was glorious. Glorious compared to everyone else, but what is it compared to Jesus living in them? Dung, darkness, death. Isn't that good? And we think, one day, I sure hope that that happens. Jesus is my hope. Okay, so anyway, there it is. Body of Adam, body of Christ. Well, I mean, I said Moses, but okay, I wasn't even looking at my slide. Old man, new man, Pentecost to last day, 30 to 70. What about here? 1 Corinthians 15, it says, seed germinated, 70 AD, seed harvested. Does anything come to your mind there? What was going on during that 40 years with seed analogy?
You start with what? The seed that falls in the ground and dies. I mean, we get,
that's Jesus.
Jesus. Fourth, I mean, that man is standing up. You know, we've talked about the progressive resurrection, starting with the head. The body's coming up and the feet will be last. Yeah.
The head being Jesus. So he's focusing on the baby. The church is the baby, but the head already stood up and was resurrected. Who be the head? Jesus. Who's going to be the body? The church. The transition period, church. Why is it showing a baby? And unto what did the baby reach at 70 AD? Anything come to mind?
Maturing.
Telos. Do those mean something? Those are right on when you understand. That man was being stood up. Progressively, people were being born again in the body. That's the first resurrection. I think when you go to Rev and people say, what's this stuff? The first resurrection, not the second death. I'm thinking we're onto something where we say that is the first resurrection. And it's when people are going through this process of 40 years. And your 1 Corinthians proper grammar will tell you that that body is being raised. Is being raised. No, your Bible said it will be, like a future tense. You ought to make the changes in your Bible. But that's a beautiful picture of what was going on, okay? That baby, that little baby that started at Pentecost, and they start getting matured and eating milk first, and they should have been getting into more meat, Paul said, 1 Corinthians 5, but they're not. But I don't care if they didn't. When they got to 70 AD, they reached maturity. Because they grew into it? No, God made them mature. Think about who gets credit for it. What do you think of that? A good slide? Good slide. Put that picture in your memory. Good one. Old man, new man. That's Paul, Romans 7, same kind of thing. Old man, what do? I do all that death stuff. And the new man, what do? Well, I don't do what I want to do. I do what I shouldn't do. But who will save me, he says, out of this body of death? He says that, right? At the end, who will save me, deliver me from out of this body of death? And what's the answer? He gives you the answer. I thank God for who? Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's who did the work. That's who saved that old man through being a baby. You got to be born again. Anyone who comes to me must come as one of these what? Little children. You know it. That's what it means. I think there's a spiritual meaning. And maybe this is one more. Might be the last one. I know you're getting tired. Okay. Age of Moses and the age of Messiah. And I'm quoting my Greek scholar on the front row. Age mellow. It's not age coming. Age that's going to come. Age about to be. What do you get out of this? Garrett just introduced the wheat or the seed analogy. Jesus said it first. Then Paul uses it in 1 Corinthians 15. What do you see here? Seed of what into the harvest of what? What do you see? Dr. Rosenberger, please. Anybody? I mean, just look.
What? The seed has to die for the new crop.
Yes. How many of you garden? I was trying to give him a softball, okay? He's a gardener, okay? Look, you put a seed in the ground and nothing comes up. You ever planted a dead seed? Have you ever planted a dead seed? She's a gardener too. What comes up out of a dead seed?
Not much.
No. Nothing. Nothing. So you put a live seed and it has to die and then live? Now you ready to explain?
Yeah.
Go, do it.
The promised seed of the woman was the only live seed in the old covenant.
Yes, okay. Deeper than what I was going, but we're just on the level here. That's Wednesday morning talk. There you go. Look at that. And how many can come out of one seed? When you see CF from the pulpit one time, I ain't making fun, but you know, he's got that agriculture degree and it's mostly on animals, but he knows about crops too. He says, one kernel of corn. And have you ever gone and counted how many kernels of corn on all the cobs of the stalk? Have you ever done that?
No.
I get the point. I never went in. But isn't it good? Huh? Is that good? Well, why did Jesus and Paul use it? Because it's that good. It's that good. So anyway, that's it. And what I have here, if you can see it, this is Pentecost when the shell of the old began to die. 1 Corinthians 15, it is being destroyed. It is being loosed. It is being made of no effect. It doesn't say it will be destroyed. That's bad translation. It is being destroyed at the same time that the new one that had been planted at Pentecost is going to be maturing and reach consummation. Remember, inauguration, consummation, and you live in a consummated kingdom. Jesus is Lord of everywhere. And don't tell me when I'm singing that one day I'm going to sing and say that. Come on. But I know where he gets it. I used to be one of them dispensational people. That's all I knew. I think I'm out of pictures. So, what? Comments?
Even as you say that, you know, and we've touched on these over the years, but it requires certain other images. You know, we get disabused of certain other baggage. Like, we take this position and say, well, you know, then you have to deal with the bride of Christ. Who is the bride? Who was? Who is not? And you have to get some of those things reconciled, otherwise they...
So what's the issue today that would be a discussion point, a disagreement about the bride of Christ? What would you say? And anyone else? Go ahead.
I think the mainstream position is going to be we, the church is the bride. The problem is that posits a marriage with no children.
Well, have we been married yet?
Right. I mean, right. That would be the question, right? But with all the other things you've already presented, there's a hard stop. No more, okay. And this is going to coincide with the marriage, with the consummation.
Yes.
Of the mature man who is also presented as the bride.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know,
that's a little weird. The man's a bride, but it's the church, but it's the man. It's also the church. It's the bride. All those things. Go ahead.
And so, yep. One alternative, I'm sure there are others, but is that I think it was Keith earlier talking about, but that body, that bunch, they were the ones being prepared. This was the bride being refined and purified, entering that land for marriage.
We weren't at Exodus. We weren't at Sinai. We didn't get engaged to be married. We didn't at Gilgal. We weren't part of that. Why are we all upset about that, thinking that today's church got to be the bride? No. Even that bride didn't make it. She got dead. She got killed. And the new bride, okay, came down from heaven. And what's the problem with just having progeny? That's Dr. Craddock, he's done that. That's where we started thinking about that. Go ahead. Comment, Carly. Hey, if there's no marriage, how do you get children? They're bastards. Is that a bad word anymore? I don't know. I use it because in the sense of Matthew, where Pilate said, "I'll give you one guy," and they said, "Give us Bar Abbas." What is Bar? Bar means son. What is Abba? What does Abba mean?
Father.
But what does Abbas mean? Son of fathers. He was a bastard. So Israel, the Pharisees said, "Give us the bastard. We don't want the true son." You get that? Isn't that? But write what you're saying. See, why do you have a problem being children of that consummated marriage? No, we're waiting on him to come back. He's going to come back. He's going to take his bride. Then they're going to go consummate the whatever.
Yeah, and when you look at what they suffered, I mean, it was rough business being the bride generation.
Yes.
I mean, praise God if I'm not part of that.
Amen. Amen. Sorry to disappoint you that the Great Tribulation isn't in your future. And I'm not saying tribulation not, okay? Just ask people in his class. They're going through stuff. But it ain't the great one, the mega ellipsis. That ain't that one, okay? So if that messes you up, sorry. Last comments. Hope the pictures help you, okay? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for you being in.